Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Susan Greenhall, who is the Policy Director at the Nonpartisan National Election Defense Coalition. Welcome to Background Briefing, Susan Greenhall.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, Susan. And I don't quite know where to begin because there's so much brazen voter suppression going on. It's particularly disgraceful, I think, in the very close race for the U.S. Senate in North Dakota, where the Republican legislature just passed a law meaning that you couldn't vote if you had a post office box. And almost all of the Native Americans, which is a big part of the population of North Dakota on reservations, have post office boxes. So that's just one example. But I guess the most brazen example is what's happening in Georgia. Would you agree?
I think the new rule that the Secretary of State is putting in place is very worrisome because it's disproportionately impacting minority voters to have their opportunity to vote on Election Day. I think it's a it's going to give the Republican Secretary of State who runs the elections an advantage in his gubernatorial bid, and it's just it's not appropriate for the person who's running elections to be putting in place rules which will advantage his chances to win.
Could you briefly describe what he's doing and lawsuits trying to stop him and whether they'll be successful?
Sure. There's been a rule put in place that requires an exact match of the information on a voter registration form to match information that the state's office have in place in for instance, in your address, if you have it written down as road RD as opposed to RD period, your voter registration form will be held up, and this could potentially impact 53,000 or more voters, according to the Associated Press. 70% of which are estimated to be minorities, meaning that those people will have difficulty voting on Election Day if they don't have proper identification, and they may be required to cast a provisional ballot, which then needs to be adjudicated and potentially might not be counted. This also is going to potentially impact voters that are voting absentee more because they won't have an opportunity to go and cure their voter registration any discrepancies to address them, because right now Georgia does not have adequate curing rules in place. And the Abrams campaign is actually encouraging a lot of people. That's Stacey Abrams. She's Secretary of Kemp's challenger, the Democratic challenger. So there is expected to be a large number of Democratic voters voting absentee, and they could be potentially very affected by this rule that Secretary Kemp has put in place.
So in other words, my address is an avenue, but if I sometimes write AVE, an abbreviation of avenue, if I had one or the other on the original form, I'd be disqualified.
That's correct. Or even if you have your street, whatever, if it's Mockingbird, whatever, and then it says space, as opposed to just one space, that could hold your voter registration up and give you problems on Election Day voting.
So this is happening quite a bit, and it's obviously there's no excuse for it. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm sure somehow Kemp has offered up some excuse, but it's so absurd and so obvious and so flagrant. Tell me, though, about some of the work that you did back in 2016, particularly in Durham County in North Carolina, because there's a concern that the Russians could help Trump out again, as they did in 2016, this time meddling even more in the elections, because we know that Trump's afraid of impeachment, and that would happen, or that would be triggered if the Democrats take the House and possibly the Senate. So just tell us that it was never properly reported and covered that the Russians actually did something. You know, DHS, Homeland Security said no, they didn't do anything. They just explored possibilities of meddling in 22 states, I think, but they didn't actually pull the trigger. My understanding is that they may well have pulled the trigger in North Carolina in 2016.
The problem is we don't know. But what we do know is that according to the Department of Homeland Security, the intelligence community, the Russian intelligence was probing voter registration databases across the country and states across the country. We know for sure they did it in 21 states. DHS has even said they probably were in more states. It's just that DHS didn't have visibility into those states' networks, meaning that they didn't have any of their systems operating in that area so that they would see any activity. And we were told that in those cases, no voter registration information was in any way deleted or manipulated or tampered with. However, what we do know is that in Durham County, North Carolina, there were a lot of people on Election Day that had difficulty voting because their voter registration records were had some issue. A lot of people were told that their address had been changed when they had not changed it. People showed up to vote, and they were told that they had already voted absentee when they had not, or that they had voted during early voting. There were a lot of problems with the voter registration records, so much so that the state had to pull the voter registration records, which are provided electronically. In North Carolina, they use what's called electronic poll books. It's basically an iPad that has your voter registration record in it. So that's something that, and that record is digital. That means it's susceptible to a cyber attack. They pulled the iPads out of use, and they used paper poll book backups, and because of this problems, because the records were so corrupted, causing chaos at the polls, that they had to extend polling hours in Durham County for people that were voting. Because of this, there was a lawsuit that was filed to extend the polling hours because there were long lines, people were turned away. People show up to go to vote at 7 a.m. and they can't go back in the evening because they have to pick up their kids, or they have to work, or they have other obligations. So if you can't vote in the morning, that may actually potentially effectively disenfranchise that voter. What was really disturbing is that there were all these issues with the electronic poll books in Durham County, but we found out it was actually reported a month before the election, although the vendor wasn't named, that a vendor of electronic poll books had been targeted with a spear phishing attack by Russian intelligence. After the election, we found out via the NSA, the leaked NSA document that people may recall made a lot of news in around June of 2017.
Right, The Intercept, Reality Winner.
Correct. Reality Winner, the woman that went to prison for leaking the document from NSA, was regarding that attempted hack of VR systems. In that document, NSA concludes that they don't know how far they got or if anything was done. So what we have, the pieces that we have are that we know that the Russian government that did have an intention to influence the election. That's according to the intelligence community. We know that Russian foreign intelligence were targeting the vendor of these electronic poll books. We know that the electronic poll books failed profoundly on Election Day in Durham County, which is a very important county in a purple state, and that people weren't able to vote. And we don't know if there's any direct connection between all of those things. At the time, the county did a very rudimentary investigation. They did not consider that malware could have, malicious software or some sort of cyber attack could have played a part in the problems with the voter rolls on Election Day. The state, when the Reality Winner story came out many months later in June, said that they were going to launch its own investigation. That's never been released. There's been no indication that they have called in Department of Homeland Security. I know immediately after the election, the state and the county said that they didn't need to call in Homeland Security to see if this actually could have been some sort of attack. So I think there are a lot of questions still about what happened in Durham County, North Carolina, on Election Day.
And isn't it a fairly predominantly African-American county?
I'm not sure of the demographics that way, but I do know that it's an urban area which tends to
vote Democratically.
Right. So that would have had an impact on that state overall. I think that what's going to be concerning is when we see problems with voter registration databases. There was a 118,000 voter records were incorrectly erased in Los Angeles during the primary a few months ago. There's always going to be a question as to, is this just typical software glitches and problems, or is there something else going on? Because messing around with voter registration database records is definitely a potential way to impact voters on Election Day and try to influence an election. And the most important thing for people to remember is don't panic. There's hotlines you can call. The Our Vote 866 Our Vote Election Protection Hotline on Election Day for help. Report problems. Make sure people know about them, and to always make sure that you vote a provisional ballot if you absolutely cannot get a regular ballot. But always try to get a regular ballot first.
Well, of course, whenever you have any of these attacks, whether they are the DNC or Podesta's email, as the GRU, the Russian military intelligence, did, I think you have to assume, don't you, Susan Greenhalgh, again, the policy director of the nonpartisan National Election Defense Coalition, don't you have to assume that it's only when the Russians get sloppy that they get caught? So they're not necessarily sloppy all the time, are they?
I guess I think that from some things I've heard, there was seems to have been intentions that they wanted to send a signal in 2016 that they were that their presence was there. I'm not an intelligence expert on that level, so I'm only limited to what I've read in the papers on that
right.
side.
No, it's true that there's also they left breadcrumbs as well.
Yeah.
But so just let's go back to what can be done here. We've got about 3 weeks left here, and we know that Heidi Huntkamp's race is very tight for the Senate in North Dakota, and yet they've taken away her vote in a very obvious way from the Native Americans who are a big part of her support. What can she do? What can Tracy Abrams do in running against this governor who's also wants to be governor, the Secretary of State in Georgia, who's just so absolutely, contemptuous of democratic norms and is resorting to this brazen attack? I don't want to feel like the Democrats are victims. That's not how democracy should work.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate that in the instance of like Georgia, the Secretary of State holds so much authority in running elections. I think there is a lawsuit that's been filed by Campaign Legal Center and the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law in Georgia challenging this match. Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State, had tried something like this a few years ago. He was sued at that time for it being a violation of the Voting Rights Act and the National Voter Registration Act. He settled. They ceased the practice, and then it's come back again with the help of the legislature passing a law to support it. So now there's another lawsuit challenging it. We'll see if they're able to prevail and help these voters. But there are different organizations out there, like the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law, which is one of the leading organizations for the Election Protection Coalition. And that's a good place, a good resource for voters to contact if they're having problems with their voter registration. People should all be checking their voter registration to make sure that they're still on the voter rolls and that everything is correct and they know where to go on Election Day. And if you can, in the future, things that can prevent these types of problems are supporting laws for same-day voter registration. Certain states, like Wisconsin, have same-day voter registration, and if, God forbid, something happens to your voter registration record, even if it's something as malicious as a malicious cyber attack, it's not a problem because you just re-register on the spot and you can vote anyway.
Well, we ran out of time, Susan Greenhall, but I just wanted to make the point that none of this would be happening, particularly in Georgia, if the Chief Justice, John Roberts, had not eviscerated the Voting Rights Act, taking out Section 5. The Kemp in Georgia would not be able to do what he's doing had Section 5 still be active. So that's something to consider. I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Susan Greenhall, who's the Policy Director at the Nonpartisan National Election Defense Coalition. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back speaking with the author of the new book just out, An Uncivil War, Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpian Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics.